Transforming Bodies, a judgment-free zone where Trish answers all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Find out what and who is the latest and greatest, and gain clarity on what options are out there to leave you feeling good in your body.
Hello listeners, it's Trish Hammond here from the Transforming Bodies podcast, and today we've got something a little bit different for you. So I am speaking to one of my favourite ladies I've met in the industry years ago when I first started, and her name's Jeannie Devereaux. And today we're going to be, like, regenerative medicine is her passion, and we're going to be talking about PRP. So basically, when I say we're going to be talking about PRP, we're really going to be talking about dermal regenerative therapy and all about PRP. So welcome, Jeannie.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Trish. It's always a delight.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks heaps for taking the time, because I know how busy you are, so I really appreciate it. Now, mm-hmm. I know for a fact, because from the time I met you, you've always been studying, you've been, doing your PhD, and like every time I talk to you, you're always in the throes of really deep studying. So you've got a double degree, you've got a Bachelor of Health Science and a Bachelor of Biomedical Science with honours, and you're just around the corner from completing your PhD in Medical Biology and Physiology, is that right?
Yes, that's true. Only a few months away now.
Oh, you must be so excited.
Then I'm going to sleep for 6 months.
Yes, I was saying, you're not going to know what to do with yourself when you're done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I know. So you're actually published in PRP, aren't you?
Yes, I published a systematic literature review, and then I also studied another study, but the systematic literature review, its main focus was on leukocyte-rich, platelet-rich plasma. And we had a very specific goal that the PRP had to offer a certain dose of platelets. And so it was a systematic review of hundreds of studies, to be honest. And we came up with some remarkable results, and that's been published for a few years now and seems to get downloaded a lot. But what we proved in that study was the benefit of high-dose platelets and high-dose leukocytes in PRP. And what happened from there is I decided to investigate that further. So I performed some experiments, and I did a wound experiment, but I also did investigated 84 gene expressions of the extracellular matrix. And I investigated that using a very, very high dose leukocyte-rich, platelet-rich plasma. I dosed the fibroblasts that were ailing fibroblasts, they were sick fibroblasts, and I dosed them with 10 billion platelets.
Right.
And then I dosed them. They were also dosed with a high percentage of mononuclear cells. And I watched what happened. And I compared that to low dose, what you would just plasma, what you would get actually from a tube. And I compared what happened. And the regenerative effects of that 10 billion dose of platelets and the mononuclear cells was astronomically significantly better than if you just used a tube plasma. And it's quite in-depth reading, but it's a very readable article. And so it's proven that the higher dose is more beneficial, and not just a little beneficial, it was highly significantly beneficial, so to speak.
Right. It's really funny because, like, when you talk, it almost sounds like another language, you know, to the layperson like me. But so just to bring it back a bit, so and also just on that paper, if you don't mind, I'd love to get a link to it that we could attach to the blog that I do for this, and so people can have a read it if they want to. Anyway, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, of course, it's public.
Amazing. Yeah, that'd be great. Mm. Well, tell me. So what does therapeutic PRP mean? So PRP is platelet-rich plasma. So what does it mean?
Well, there's different, as you've noticed, there's many brands popping up on the market that call themselves a PRP. There's quite but they are quite distinguished from one another. You will notice in one group, they are actually a test tube or just a blood collecting tube. So they take anything from 8 to 10 mils of blood. And then there's another family, which are called whole blood cell separators. In Australia, there's only about maybe 4 or 5 that have TGA registration. And that family will retrieve per 7 mil dose of PRP, will retrieve at least 10 billion platelets that are injected at the time. Now, what that actually means is that they have a concentration of 1.5 million platelets per microliter in 7 mils of PRP. The tubes have a concentration of only about 250,000 platelets per microliter in 5 mils. So they're delivering about 1 billion or less to the patient. So basically you have a dose of 1 billion and you have a dose of 10 billion. And that's the difference in a tube and a highly sophisticated whole blood cell separator system.
Okay. And
yeah, so it sounds very complicated, but if you compare it to going to Coles or Woolworths and buying a vitamin A cream off the shelf there, and then you go into a dermal clinician's clinic and you buy a cosmeceutical.
Got it.
Okay, so you have a high dose of vitamin A or B3 or C or whatever they are selling compared to what you would get in a shopping centre.
Got it. And I guess, you know, that's something for, hard for people to understand as well, because people think, well, I get this from the supermarket, that's got vitamin C in it, whereas opposed to if you did buy that from as a cosmeceutical, it would be the percentage and the quality and the strength would be different.
Yes, and that's exactly the same.
Got it.
It's the same with the PRP industry. It's not standardized. So a cosmetic in the shopping center can still say pro-retinol, anti-aging cream.
Yep.
That's exactly what is said in the skin clinic as well. And the patient or the shopper is none the wiser of the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Until they become educated. And this is educated in that, you know, and some are avid readers and they work it out and et cetera. And some people don't mind their cream from the shopping center either. So that's the difference between a tube and a therapeutic PRP.
And so does that kind of, like, is there a difference? Like, does that cover what the difference is between, like, well, actually, what are the differences between the types of PRP that are available?
Well, there's
the types of PRP availability?
Yes, well, in Australia, anywhere in the world, there's those two families. You've got your plasma family and you have your therapeutic PRP family of systems. So is that what you mean? Like,
yes.
So the tube systems are allowed to call themselves PRP because we don't have standardization in the world yet. There is amongst scientists and there is amongst people in the know. However, they can still call themselves a PRP, as the shopping center can still call their cream pro-retinol anti-aging moisturizer. So that's the difference. So the whole blood cell separators take a lot more blood and concentrate that, and you have a higher concentration and a higher dose, of course. Now, where the confusion is in the jargon, and it's very difficult for the average person or even the average clinician to wade through all of that information. And sadly, the plasma doesn't give the result that's promised and may not, has probably in some cases damaged the reputation of PRP. And like the vampire facial, for example, or or they've gone in with a high expectation because patients have expectations similar to fillers and Botox, where PRP is something that takes time in the skin. So there's a vast difference. It really is the 1 billion versus the 10 billion. And at that concentration of 10 billion, you see, very significant results. Where the tricky part is for the client is that's natural regeneration, and natural regeneration takes time. And so you see improvement over 3 to 6 months from having your highly rich dosed platelets. It's not something that you wake up, walk out of that clinic and your wrinkle is instantly gone.
Yeah,
it will go, but it goes naturally over time. And the instant gratification has come from fillers, which certainly have their place. And the filler has been injected and the wrinkle appears to be have gone. It instantly appears to be gone, but the same aged tissue is still there.
I get it. Yeah. And the PRP works on regenerating that tissue so that that wrinkle that's still there with the PRP will go.
Well, wrinkles are made up of senescent cells, aging cells.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, if to regenerate properly, you need to remove those cells and then regenerate new cells. How you remove those cells is the monocytes in the PRP. So you're highly concentrated leukocyte-rich PRP will do that. Remove what shouldn't be there and simultaneously replace or regenerate what should be there.
Got it.
That's okay. The difference. So the hyaluronic acids clog up the hole or the crevice, but don't do anything regenerative to the skin. And that becomes very obvious every year that we go back to a conference and we see our colleagues that are re-injecting themselves over and over and over again. You'll notice that they don't age quite gracefully. They age around the filler. Their skin has a very fibrotic look about it. It's quite plastinated. Sometimes I can't put my finger on it. So the fillers do have to decompose in the skin or metabolize in the skin, but they're replaced with a more fibrotic tissue. So what we want, where PRP won't do that, PRP will remove fibrotic tissue, remove senescent cells, remove anything that shouldn't be in there, and give it, and then we have a new bed. The collagen to lay itself, regenerate itself.
Okay. So tell me, is that cumulative as well? I know this probably sounds ridiculous, but the more you do it, could you like reverse the signs of age?
Definitely.
Because this is what we all want. We don't want a quick fix. We want to reverse it. Oh, that's what I want.
You definitely do reverse it. And you also slow it down. If PRP had been around in my 20s, I would have had one a year. And then even in my 30s, one a year to prevent the wrinkles coming. You want to get into prevention. So even people say, how young can you be to have PRP? I said, start now. because we're white people living in a very hot country. And even the people that have come from India and Italy and Middle East, everything, they notice that their melasma is worse. They notice their pigment is worse. You know, it's become darkened. Start now, because all of that is the sun damage showing through. So if you can start in your 20s, have one a year, and then as you get older, build it up. Like I try to have three a year now. Doesn't always happen, you know, with COVID and everything, but I did notice with COVID, my skin just went downhill very fast because I couldn't have a PRP. But the idea is to prevent. And then, you know, if you are in your 20s or 30s, then if you're not, then you want to turn that clock back, and you also want to remove the damage. To have good skin, you must remove the damage. And PRP removes the damage from within because it's injected into the subcutaneous layer and it disperses into the dermis and to the epidermis and even deeper than the subcutaneous layer.
Mm-hmm.
So those monocytes that are actually in that PRP will go it through and clean up. It recognizes anything that shouldn't be in there and cleans out. So the more PRP you have, the less rogue, I'll say a rogue cell, because that's a, you know, a rogue cell is a precancerous cell, pigmentation, capillaries that are breaking, aging cells, senescent cells, anything that's going wrong in your skin is going wrong because of a cell or a group of cells. You don't want them in there because they crosstalk and they communicate and they pass their damage around. So you want to stop that process.
So as a, like, how would a patient know? Because, you know, like there's a lot of companies out there doing some really, really good marketing, but they might not necessarily perform really good PRP or other things as well. But their marketing, you know, like, I guess, marketing puffery is a good example, or maybe a good word. Is that,
yes,
is that right?
Yes.
So
well, they
how
can.
Does, how do we know where to go to well, have something done properly? Because it's a bit gnarly out there sometimes for people that don't know.
They can ask. They can ask for proof. See, first and foremost, that patient is must consent to a procedure.
Yeah.
To consent to a procedure, you must have all of the information. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We know if we go and have Botox, we know that there's a certain dose of botulinum toxin in that Botox or in the Dysport or in the Xeomin or whatever they're having. Mm-hmm. We know that when we buy a certain vitamin A cream, we know there's 1% or 0.5% in that. We know if we have a filler, we know that there's a certain percentage of hyaluronic. We know it's cross-linked. If we have antibiotics, we know it's proof there. We don't know with PRP, so the onus now is on to the patient or the client to actually ask, have them pull it out of their cupboard and show you what you're going to have. If it's a tube, you know it's only plasma. Then you can actually ask the question, what is the dose of platelets that you will be delivering to me? Into my skin. What is the dose? You want that number of 10 billion. Now, anyone can pull that number out of a hat. You have to have the proof. Now, that company that they've bought the PRP from will have that proof. And it'll
How
be.
How do we see it?
You How ask we... for it because you cannot consent to a procedure until you've had the information. And I've actually said this a lot in my PRP training, to give the information to the patients so they know what they're actually having. So when they see down the road, oh, I can get PRP for $250, they're aware of that difference. So you must ask for it because it's not a product that is – PRP is not a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a drug – so your botulinum toxins and your hyaluronic acids are classified as a drug. So they are very specific in what they're made of. But it's up now with the patient has got to start demanding that they're given the best and not just anything.
So if I rock up at a clinic and I say, okay, well, what's the dose of the PRP that you're giving me? And I'll see the tube and I want to hear from them that it's 10 billion.
And you want to see it too, because the companies will have the pathology results of their PRPs, and you can ask for them.
Okay.
You can ask for the data. So you want to ask for the data, the cell data, and this is consenting to a procedure. You're consenting to that particular PRP. So that patient can then read, oh, okay, this actually produces this. I'm going to go and inquire down the road or inquire down the road. And then they are making an informed decision, which is consent. But unfortunately, that hasn't happened in the PRP industry, as it doesn't happen when you're in the shopping centre purchasing cream either. Yeah. So, and you also, it's not just 10 billion, it's 10 billion in 7 mils.
Okay. So,
10 billion in
7 mils.
So if they say to you 1 billion in 5 mils or 1 billion in 1 mil, but you want to hear the magic number is 10 billion in 7 mils.
Okay, okay. And so they can show me this on the documentation of the brand of the PRP?
Yes, you can ask for it.
Okay.
Definitely ask for it.
Okay.
And if they're not forthcoming, then there's an issue, because I do know that the whole blood cell separators, the more sophisticated systems, could have that emailed to any potential client or patient in the blink of an eye.
Okay. I had no idea. But like, it's true though, because you want to know what you're getting. Because I can remember years ago, I went and had a, quote, angel.
Angel's a good system.
Like a, was it not a vampire face, if they had angel facelift.
Yes.
But that was where they just got my blood, centrifuged it, and then they put it on a cotton ball and then just dabbed it on my skin.
Oh, that wouldn't have been angel.
Okay.
So they've done something else. They've actually just used the term angel facelift, but they've just used the tube.
So. Okay.
Yeah, but just anything that's applied topically in the world of PRP is not a PRP treatment.
Okay.
They usually do something called a vampire facial. That's actually a skin needling treatment, and they just use plasma, but you are not having a PRP treatment. PRP is injected into the subcutaneous layer of the skin.
Okay.
That's a PRP system in a skin setting. There's also musculoskeletal, there's sexual health, there's hair, there's all sorts of regenerative medicine applications. But in skin, it is injected into the subcutaneous.
Okay. And is this the concentration and dose of platelets, is that kind of what we're talking about? I mean,
yes.
That makes a difference, hey?
Yes. If you can remember the dose, if you can just remember the dose, that's easier. So the dose needs to be 10 billion platelets in 7 mils.
Yeah.
For a face.
Okay.
So when you divide all of that up, that's about 1.4, 1.5 million platelets per microliter. But you don't have to remember that.
Yep.
You just remember 10 billion in 7 mils.
Yep.
You're
that's
fine.
To remember. Yep, that's easy.
Yes.
I even remember that when you said it the third time.
Yes. You remember that the concentration's already in that equation,
yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Yep. And so are there any other examples of marketing puffery that people need and should be aware of?
Yes. One is platelet-rich fibrin. Again.
Platelet-rich what?
Platelet-rich fibrin.
Fibrin,
F-I-B-R-I-N.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
What's happening there is it's a tube system again, and this tube system doesn't, a tube, I won't call it a system, it's a tube, will not have anticoagulant in it. So when it is centrifuged, the plasma will form a gel. Now, mind you, this is a very weak This is not a leukocyte-rich, platelet-rich plasma, as we've talked about. Their claim is that they are delivering a higher number of growth factors because of their method. So I'll just explain to you, when you do not use anticoagulant, the platelets will activate outside of the body, out in the test tube itself, and releases its growth factors. If you inject the PRP, the PRP will release its growth factors when the platelet touches collagen, and the growth factors will release for the next 2 weeks. If you release your growth factors in a test tube outside of the human, you haven't got much time to inject that product, because those growth factors must go somewhere and must go to a cell receptor and must get there quick. Okay, because they need somewhere to go. So that is puffery because it is purely just plasma with some platelets in it. Now I want to go back a bit. Inside a platelet, you'll see a little seed called a granule. Inside that granule contains the growth factors. So the more platelets you have, the more growth factors you have. So if you have 10 billion platelets and each platelet contains a million growth factors, or let's say 100,000 growth factors, then you multiply that. If you're using plasma, then you've only got a billion platelets, and then that have, you know, 100,000 growth factors, and you multiply that. So it's impossible to have more growth factors than any other system in the world, is what they say. It's impossible. It doesn't even make proper maths, because they have lower platelets. Low platelets, low growth factors. High platelets, high growth factors.
So can you explain growth factors?
Well, the growth factor is contained inside the granule, inside the platelet, and they perform something. Oh, I've got to keep it simple. They regenerate. They perform regenerative messages in the skin. So they will attach to a cell receptor, and they will send a signal into that cell, depending on which growth factor it is. There's multiple of them, and they all send a special message. All of the messages are to regenerate. Now, if you have a significant dose of those platelets and the growth factors, the main message is it sees stem cells, and it says, cell, wake up, my human is ailing, please regenerate. So growth factors send this message, and they can repair cell damage, repair DNA, they crosstalk to other cells. So that's what they do, and they're contained within the platelet.
So can you explain to us what autologous PRP and PRF is?
Well, autologous conditioned PRP, I think there's someone. So autologous just means self.
Okay.
So all PRP is taken from, so it's your blood used on that day. So the TGA laws are that the blood is taken from you on that day and must be used on that day. So it can't be stored in refrigerators or freezers or et cetera. So autologous just means self. There's something else called autologous conditioned serum. And that's, again, has a little bit of a different pathway, but they have the same message as the platelet, as the PRF message, where they actually incubate the blood for several hours in 38 degrees. And what's interesting is that blood is already at 38 degrees. So I don't understand. I do understand why they're doing that, but I'll explain that in a minute. And they believe that they're releasing more growth factors by doing that. Now, where that came from is in a laboratory, we are examining and the activity of platelets. We don't have a, we can't examine that inside a human. So we often examine that inside petri dish, dishes of cells. We need to keep that, those cells alive. So we have to put them in a condition, a human condition. Okay. So we put them in an incubator of 38 degrees. It's not just 38 degrees. It's also 5% carbon dioxide because it must be kept under pressure. I've seen these incubators in beauty salons mostly, and it is just a very tinny and cheap incubator. And I really don't understand why they're incubating at all, especially when the platelets naturally release in if they're injected into the skin. But I have noticed that product seems to do a lot of the vampire facial, where the platelets or the growth factors are not doing the work at all. The skin needling is actually doing the work. So there's a lot of smoke and mirrors in amongst some of these tube companies that are doing the vampire facial, or the they have all these special names, you know, these puffery names. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you want to see what's going to be put into your skin. And if it's a tube, you know it's very, very low in its platelet count. And there's better out there. And it's about shopping around. One more that's a bit strange, and I don't know how this is allowed. It's interesting. They advertise they have a ratio of 22 to 1, a ratio of 22 anabolic cells to 1 catabolic cells. Now, this is actually on websites and in print, and I'm very surprised that TGA haven't asked them to take it down. Now, the reason for that is, first and foremost, there's no such thing as an anabolic cell or a catabolic cell. That's actually a pathway, and it's a pathway that happens like a yin and a yang, and it's part of your metabolism. So one breaks down energy for you to use, and one uses the energy, and they're never out of sync. And if the only time they are out of sync is when you've been poisoned by cyanide and you die. So what they're advertising is the reverse of cyanide poisoning. So I assume that if you did have a ratio of 22 to 1 anabolic to catabolic cells, you would be dead. So this is where the marketing really needs to be cleaned up in this industry, because it's not even physiologically correct.
I was going to say, and I think how they get away with it is the fact that nobody's reported them, because usually the TGA and they only act on report if someone reports someone. I think
That's true. Yeah, and even that particular product, when you look up their TGA ARTG number, they're just registered as a blood collection tube.
Mm-hmm.
All blood collection tubes. Another thing in the puffery as well is the they claim to have patented gel in their tube. And it is correct that it is patented, but it's not patented by them. It's exactly the same gel in every tube. It's been patented by BD. And they get that gel from that company, but it's not patented by the company selling the tube.
Mm-hmm.
You got me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can get that same gel in a similar tube, you can get for $15. And these people are paying $130 for these tubes. You know, wow. So the ISO numbers in those tubes are exactly the ISO numbers in the tubes that you have for pathology, that we use in the lab. It's not a unique patency to that company. But legally, they can say patented technology, but it's not their technology.
Got it. It's so tricky, isn't it? I mean,
it's sad, actually. It's actually really sad.
It's scary. So how does a clinic or even a patient choose a PRP?
Well, certainly go for the high dose, the high number,
That's the 10 million in 7
10
mils.
billion, 10 billion.
Oh my God, 10 billion in
Just
7
think of,
mils.
didn't some famous person go billions and billions and billions and billions? That was Trump.
I tried not to listen to anything that he said, so I
It's very
wouldn't
funny. Billions
know.
and billions and billions and billions. If you remember that joke, 10 billion in 7 mils
Yep.
is your is and fat. You know that's your the best dose there. I do know a musculoskeletal doctor in Brisbane that goes even higher than that, for rotator cuffs and really difficult cases, and he's mastered an art. So you don't want to be working under 10 billion platelets. You really don't. You're really in the mediocre world then. It's mediocre results. You're best to really go and have just a skin peel. It'd be an equivalent result, would be a skin peel. And also, people don't understand that having your blood taken is still a risk. There's a risk of infection, there's a risk of swelling, there's a risk of fainting. It's an unnecessary risk to take unless you're going to do it properly.
Oh, I went to have it done once, but they couldn't get my blood because I've got a really funny vein. So for someone who does get it done, so you go and get your blood taken in the morning
Straight
or
no, at the
whenever. So
same time.
what's the
It,
process? Like, how long would it take? So is this a day treatment?
no, it'd be less than an hour. So you have your blood taken. It's depending on the system that the person's purchased, it usually goes through a double centrifugation. So there's a two-spin process. And one is for the plasma, they take the plasma out and then they re-spin that and then they create their platelet-rich plasma. So it usually takes about 7 minutes and then it's ready for injection. And then, after injection, you will be nicely swollen for a couple of days, but nothing that you couldn't go outside. Every injection has the risk of a bruise. I always say to people when they say, "Well, I bruise," I just say, "I hope so," because then you get a better result. And because that's more platelets. But and then slowly, you start seeing the changes. Other people see the changes first. They start saying, "Why, you're looking well. You're looking really, really well. What have you done? What's changed?" But nothing has actually changed other than they're looking more vibrant, more well. And then when I've seen the people have the three PRPs in a row, 4 to 6 weeks apart, and then you see them 3 or 4 months after the third one, it's honestly remarkable. You just think, what have you had done? Like, what has happened? You know, they just look so amazing. And the PRP can also be combined with other procedures, lasers, skin needling, the V2 injector. I've noticed that the filler companies are bringing out, I'm probably not using the right word, but stimulants, biostimulants, or, you know, perfect, because the thing about the bioremodeling is that it can't take away rogue cells, senescent cells. It doesn't have that, we call it phagocytosis, like a weeding out. So, but you could combine, you could do a PRP to prepare the skin for the biomodeling, so to speak. You know,
And
so,
so you know how you're saying it takes about seven. So when you take the blood, how long does it have to be centrifuged for before you can actually use it on the patients? Like, do I have to take my blood and then
7 minutes.
disappear for a bit?
No, it's right in front of you. Yeah, right in front of you. So there's usually like a double spin process. The first spin's 2 minutes and the second spin's 5 minutes. Then it's drawn up and then it's ready for injection.
Oh my goodness me, I thought you had to come back hours later when the
No,
process was happening
that
and
is that
no.
other one called an autologous conditioned serum that they're cooking it for in the incubator for several hours. No, you don't need to do that because the incubating it at 38 degrees, your blood is already 38 degrees. If it's injected back straight into your skin, it's injected back into 38 degrees. There's no need. It's all
Got it.
marketing.
Yeah, got it. Okay. And so you mentioned before about the HA, hyaluronic acid fillers. So why would a client choose PRP over HA fillers? Because I know you mentioned before, is that the prevention thing, or
Well,
could you use
yeah,
both,
definitely you
or?
can use both. A filler will always lie better in a better in a healthier skin. PRP will also do the whole face, the entire face, where filler is really just in a certain area. So the PRP will do the entire skin. If the person still wants more augmentation, or then you could actually put the filler in. But I would prepare the skin before filler, and then sometimes you find that they won't want the filler at all. It's only when people are not born with cheekbones or have a receding chin or want to straighten their nose. PRP can't change who you are. It just regenerates who you are. If they want that chin augmented or their nose straightened, or they weren't born with cheekbones, PRP cannot give you what you never had. But you can work with both modalities for sure.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And just to finish off, so can you tell us a bit about the vampire facial? Because I know it was all the rage when KK had it done, but how does it differ to PRP injected, or does it differ?
Well, in injecting the PRP, you are injecting it into the subcutaneous level, into the fat cells. And the PRP is very watery, and it releases its growth factors, and it's liquid, so it sort of disperses. So it also disperses into the dermis and disperses, deep into the deeper layers, even down to that skeletal muscle. This is where your stem cells are. The dose that we're using and the amount of growth factors being released commands to the stem cells to regenerate, to activate. They're not on the surface of your skin. They're not on that surface. So when you're having a vampire facial, they'll do a skin needling and then sort of pour the plasma over the top. Now, even if you think about a wound never heals from the outside in. A wound heals from the inside out. We regenerate from the inside out. Okay, so that's why injecting it into that deeper layer is where you're going to get the wow factor result. The superficial is really the skin needling is doing the work. Now, if you think about it, when you skin needle somebody, you've got a hole in the skin. What is in that hole at that time before you've put anything on it? It's filled with blood. How do you fill a hole with that's already filled with blood? You can't.
Got it. Yep.
So it's just blood all over a face. It's smoke, it's marketing.
Got it.
Now, in a wound care clinic, when I'm working in a wound care clinic, we do apply PRP as a gel topically. But there's a major process that goes with that because we may have a venous ulcer and we have to scrape that wound up. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into packing that wound with a PRP gel.
Yeah.
And it's an open wound. So that's very different. Yeah. So that's the difference. You want to inject that PRP into those deep layers so it disperses throughout all the layers and sends the message with the 10 billion platelets. Multiply that by 100,000 or more growth factors. Regenerate me. Then you've got all the white blood cells that are cleaning everything out that shouldn't be in there, that's creating the problem in the first place. And that's what a filler can't do. A filler doesn't stop the problem. Covers up the problem, but it doesn't stop the problem.
Got it, got it. So
So if they
for
work
the
together, it's magic.
amazing. I've never had this treatment. I've wanted it for so long, but I've actually been too scared because I want to get it done properly. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly, otherwise I won't do anything at all. So three treatments, 4 to 6 weeks apart, and then once a year as a top up.
No, it depends on your age.
I'm old.
I would okay. come every I would 50s? Go every six months.
Okay.
And have a treatment. And in between, nothing beats good skincare used on a daily basis.
Yeah.
The clinic will also be offering peels and LED and some lasers. And mm-hmm. it's a little bit like going to the gym. A personal trainer never gives one exercise for one muscle. They'll give three exercises for one muscle.
True.
And the skin is the same, dieting's the same, losing weight's the same, exercise is the same, and life is the same.
Yeah.
You know, and the skin is different, is the same.
That's so true.
PRP is dermal therapy. It is not in the filler category. It is dermal therapy. It's regenerative dermal therapy.
Yeah. And so do you do this, do you offer this treatment?
No. Okay. No, I do training. Mm-hmm. I don't. I have had a clinic before where I worked with a doctor, and but at the moment I'm studying. But I do the training for. But I will only train for the high end companies.
Yeah,
I won't.
And so you should with all that study.
I walk in, the person's got a tube. I'm like,
Oh no, fair enough. Look, I've got to say that's been so interesting because I've so been interested in PRP. The first time I heard about it, I thought, oh my God, this is great, because I'm all into, you know, natural. Don't get me wrong, I will have anything done that I think is going to, you know, make me look younger, better, or whatever, or virtually anything. But I love the thought of the PRP because it is so natural. You know, it's so, you know, your own body. And I didn't even realize that it's reversing. I didn't realize that it was. Mm. I mean, I've heard it before, but until we spoke to her, I didn't actually realize that it was actually really regenerative.
Yeah, and it'll give you back the volume that you've lost too. So people that are getting the fillers to get the volume back in their cheeks, the PRP will actually do that.
Yeah.
And it's natural volume. But the filler is putting the volume in there, it's sort of fake, but not fixing the problem. And you want your own natural juicy cheeks back. You don't want these artificial ping pong balls. I see them and they move around. I see the girls year after year and their cheek jumps around and their skin is aging around the filler, and they keep putting little bits of filler back in. And next thing, it forms all these lumps in their skin. And it's evident every time we go to a cosmetic conference and we see them year after year, and they're not the same person in any way, shape or form.
No, I know exactly what you mean. And it's really funny because I had some filler put in my temples, and then I felt that, and it freaked me out, but I could feel it moving down. I thought, does it move? But of course, it's only, you know, it's going to be where it's injected, but of course it can move.
Yeah, it migrates, absolutely. Yeah,
I had no idea. It was freaked me out, but anyway.
Yeah.
I've got to say, thank you so much, Ginny. That's been so, so interesting.
Oh, so you're welcome.
Just to close off, 10 billion in 7 mil.
Yes, 10 billion platelets in 7 mils of plasma. Yes.
10 billion platelets in 7 mils of plasma.
Yes.
I'm going to make that my mantra for a week and see if I can remember it forever. Oh, thank you so much, Ginny. That's been wonderful chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Got a burning question for Trish? Message her on Instagram at Transforming Bodies, or join the 12,000 plus people in the Facebook group Plastic Surgery Support Forum for Aussie Chicks.